Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's visit Darren LaHood, 18th Congressional District Rep in Peoria, Illinois. He is a Republican mid-state lawmaker who still has a seat. Darren, welcome back to the show.
With you and your listeners.
I say it that way because with the redistricting, we're going to lose a congressperson. Is anybody safe? How does it get drawn up, and what would that mean for you?
Well, first of all, John, it's very disappointing and unfortunate that we're losing a seat in Illinois because of our population loss over the last 10 years. But it's really not surprising, John. If you look at the states that gain congressional seats, Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Montana, these are all states that have low taxes. They have term limits on their legislators in the state legislature. They have a great business climate. And in Illinois, John, you know, unfortunately, we've had terrible fiscal mismanagement. We have a bankrupt pension system. We continue to raise taxes. And so that's why we're losing a seat. And so it's very unfortunate we continue to hemorrhage people out of Illinois. Listen, I love Illinois, John. I'm a fourth generation Illinoisan. I'm raising my three boys here. But you got to wake up, and hopefully this is a wake-up call that we have to change things in Illinois so that we don't keep losing population.
Do you think term limits for state lawmakers would fix some of these things? That's an interesting thing you dropped in there.
Well, listen, when you look at these other states, you know half of the states in the United States now have term limits, John?
No, I didn't know that.
So my only point is these states that have them, they tend to have a better business climate. They tend to have a balanced budget. They tend to work on issues in a more bipartisan way instead of having people that are in the legislature for 30 and 40 years. That's not what our founders anticipated, John. So anyway, I think that's a small part of it.
Yeah.
But it, again, in Illinois, to your original question, John, yeah, it's unfortunate we're losing a seat. So we'll go from 18 to 17 and we'll see how the legislature draws it. I don't know if you saw today, but you know, the Sun-Times said Governor Pritzker flip-flopped. He supported an independent map where a commission draws it and not politicians. I hope that that's the way we go in Illinois. I think that's what the voters want. It'll be healthy for democracy.
Hey, by the way, I just got a text message from a state lawmaker. He thinks we should have term limits on federal legislators, too. How about that one?
Listen, I signed the term limits pledge. I'm all for it, right? So count me in.
I suppose, though, you're obviously a congressperson would be, but your heritage is deep in central Illinois. I don't think they can write you out or draw you out of a map, do you?
Well, listen, I don't take anything for granted, John. I'm fortunate to represent the people that I do. We'll see how this process plays out. I was there in the legislature 10 years ago, so I'm going to work hard to represent the people that I do. And if whatever district I get, I'm going to run hard in that district, and we'll see what happens.
Who should go? Somebody's got to go. If this were like, Survivor, the tribe will speak. Which one would you say has to leave the state legislature, the congressional delegation?
Well, I'm not going to pick and choose, and that's why I don't think politicians should. John, listen, when you look at, takes the state of Arizona or the state of Iowa, for instance, they have independent commissions. So they have non-politicians that are independent that draw the lines. And figure it out. And they don't, again, it doesn't get political. And I think that's healthier for democracy. Plus, they go along county lines and city lines to draw the districts.
Yeah.
Instead of politicians picking their voters, voters ought to be picking their politicians.
Boy, that is really interesting. When you look at some of the aldermanic districts, when you look at some of the congressional districts, something's going on there, and it ain't county lines. You're absolutely right about that. I wanted to ask you, Congressman, about the American Families Plan. The president likes it, $1.8 trillion. What do you like, what do you not like about Joe Biden's proposal?
Well, listen, John, I want to hear the plan. I know he's going to speak tonight. But I got to tell you, John, I went to the president's inauguration on January 20th. I thought it was important for Republicans to be there. I listened to his speech. It was actually a pretty good speech, very bipartisan, talked about unifying the country. But I got to tell you, John, in the last 100 days, there hasn't been one bipartisan thing that he's put forth. Let me just tell you, the $2 trillion COVID bill, not one Republican vote in the Senate or the House. He hasn't reached out when it comes to the border disaster. He's put in 60 executive orders. So it's kind of like the bait and switch, John. The bait was, I want to work with you. Well, let's unify. Let's do anything. But 100 days later, there's not one thing he's done in a bipartisan way. So while I'm optimistic to hear the plan tonight, John, we haven't seen anything. Listen, there's 10 moderate Republicans in the Senate that have reached out, met with Biden, gave him a plan for infrastructure. This is how we ought to do it. That'll be the first test for me, is whether he sincerely wants to work in a bipartisan way. Because, listen, whether it's immigration, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's the environment, there are many Republicans, me included, that want to work with him.
Let me just ask you about some of the things, though, that we do know he is going to talk about. Free community college. 75% the tuition cost picked up by the federal government. States pick up the balance. 5.5 million students, were they to receive it today, would have free community college. Do you like that idea?
Listen, I 100% support community colleges. I want to see the details on it, but I've been a strong proponent of community colleges in my district, and the more we can expand that, the better. With all of these things, John, it comes down to the cost. Who's paying for it? Is it adding to the debt?
Okay. I can answer some of those questions, and you know what I'm about to say. Biden wants to reverse a key plank of the Republican 2017 tax cuts by returning the top marginal income tax rate. We're going to go from 37 on the last dollar earned to 39.6%. That affects the top 1% of taxpayers. How about that? The rich people pay a little bit more.
Well, here's what I worry about, John. We're coming out of a pandemic, and I think the last thing we ought to be worried about doing is raising taxes on individuals. So I want to see the plan. I just don't think it's the time to raise taxes. Remember, John, before COVID, we had the best economy in our lifetime, by every indication. People from the bottom of the scale all the way to the top were making money and doing well. I think when you come out of a pandemic, let's get the economy back on track. The economy is spring-loaded, ready to come back. Let's get the vaccine out. Let's get people vaccinated, let's let the economy come back. I think when you start raising taxes on all levels, which it's just not the top earners, in also in this plan that he's going to put out tonight, it's raising taxes on, for instance, farmers, the stepped up basis changes, the estate tax, that affects family farmers. So I want to see the details, but I'm dubious about raising taxes.
Well, I don't know how else you're going to do it then. He wants to raise capital gains. He wants to raise the corporate income tax rate, too. I mean, you can't get something from nothing. And maybe expecting that the economy will just generate these revenues is probably not a pretty good bet, since we're already trillions and trillions of dollars in debt anyway. So somebody's got to pay sooner than later. I mean, for the spending alone that we've been doing, for the stimulus we're in the hole, somebody's got to pay, right?
Well, absolutely. All I'm saying is, I mean, we're $30 trillion in debt. None of this stuff you talked about pays for itself. It's good. There are aspects of it I can support, John. But we got to wake up at some point. We just keep spending and spending and spending. We can't keep doing that on infrastructure, John. Listen, I'm open to looking at a user fee. How do we raise, for instance, if you go to the airport and fly, you pay a fee. I'm okay for that. If you use the roads, you pay maybe higher gas taxes, or you have a user fee for that, or if you drive an electric vehicle. Those are the type of taxes where it's going into things that people use on a daily basis. I think that's where he ought to start. Every infrastructure bill we've done for 30 years has been bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats coming together. Let's start off with that and see where Biden goes. I think that's really where bipartisanship will come in.